This Friday morning on Wake Up with Hope, we're making kale pesto pasta. And we'll have an inspirational devotional from Pastor Mark Finley. And Taj Pakleb takes us on another journey of reflections of hope. Stay with us. Good morning and happy Friday, friends. We have been so thankful to be able to spend our mornings with you this week. You know, today is National Grief Awareness Day. And we want to take a moment to highlight the importance of reaching out to those who are grieving. Support a grieving friend, and if you are the one grieving, make sure to engage in self-care. And don't forget to have a sure friend in God who knows all about what you're going through. Well, can you believe it? Tomorrow is the last day of August, and September is literally right around the corner. And you know what that means? The end of summer is on its way, and fall is upon us. Well, are you ready to enjoy the beautiful fall season that God has given us? Well, I know I am. I love fall colors. It's beautiful, not to mention the pumpkins and the beautiful fall colors of the leaves all around us. You know, and as fall draws near, don't forget to enjoy these last precious weeks of summertime. So soak in the sunshine. And don't forget to send us a picture of what your summer has looked like. Did you take a trip somewhere? Send us a picture of the family. We'd love to see what you did. We'd love to hear and see what you have done by sending us a picture or telling us what's happening on our official Facebook page. And talking about enjoying the beauty of nature, coming up on today's program, Taj Pakleb takes us on a journey to Bali to enjoy a powerful lesson there. So that's going to come up just a little later. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history. On this day in history in 1983, U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Keon S. Bluford became the first African-American in space when the Space Shuttle Challenger launched on its third mission at 2:32 a.m., the first night launch of a space shuttle. The Challenger spent 6 days in space, during which Bluford and his four crew members launched a communication satellite for India, contacted an errant satellite, conducted scientific experiments, and tested the shuttle's robotic arm. The mission ended flawlessly with the shuttle landing at Edwards Air Force Base in California just before dawn on September 5. Just as Bluford and his space mates had a mission, so too did Jesus. Jesus left the glory of heaven to walk among us, to teach us, and ultimately to lay down his life for our sins. His death and resurrection opened the way for us to be reconciled with God and receive the gift of eternal life. This mission was driven by love, a love so profound that it conquered sin and death. And no matter where you are in life, remember that Jesus came specifically to save you. His mission was personal, and his love for you is limitless. And today, embrace the salvation he offers and live in the freedom and hope that comes from knowing you are deeply loved and eternally secure in him. You know, Christ's mission was accomplished so that you might have life and that you could have it to the fullest. Kale pesto pasta. That sounds really good. It's what's cooking. So let's head into the kitchen to discover how to make this delicious and nutritious dish.
Everybody knows that kale, the superfood, is one of the most popular foods these days. And this recipe, I'm going to show you how to incorporate it in a very simple dish. We're going to do kale pesto pasta. To start off with, we've got 4 cloves of garlic. Everything's going to be blended here. So we'll just go ahead and put that in. And then we've got our fresh kale. And I want to go ahead and strip the leaves off of this one by one. This one happens to be a purple kale. Regular kale, green kale, whatever, will work fine. And then just to make it a little easier on the blender, I'm just going to chop chop some of these pieces up, make it a little bit smaller. Chopping greens is one of the ways that it's easiest to cut your fingers. So again, with that technique of keeping your fingers rolled back and having your knife only touching on your knuckles like that, keep those fingers right out of the way. All right. That should be enough there. Okay, olive oil. And of course we have to have some salt. And lemon juice for that acidity. And then yeast flakes, of course, always more yeast flakes. Okay, and so for pesto, usually a lot of people use pine nuts. Those are so expensive. Walnuts are very healthy. And in this recipe, kale is a pretty strong vegetable, pretty strong leafy green. So the walnuts will work great with that. All right, got everything together. And we're just gonna blend this. When we blend it, I don't wanna go to like smoothie, but we're gonna go, it can be a little bit chunky still. We'll check this out. Pieces to blend up just a little better. Oftentimes that happens with blenders. You have to take the lid back off and kind of stir things around manually. There we go. And there's enough moisture in the kale that it's not just the lemon juice and the olive oil that will keep things going. All right, let's blend it again. I like the way that looks. It does have some bigger pieces in it, but that's okay for a little bit of texture. It always adds a nice touch to the dish. So you can see this made, probably around a cup, maybe a little more. I would put this in a container and keep it airtight if you're gonna save it for the next day. But this time we're gonna put everything in this dish. And we're using fettuccine on this for our pasta this time. Anytime you're cooking pasta, you always add some salt to the water. So usually the rule is a pound of pasta and a tablespoon of salt in the water. So pretty much you don't have to measure it out. You can pretty much just eyeball it, and just as long as you're adding some in. And we'll just mix this all around. And I like the way that the pasta has dried just a little bit. So the pesto is sticking to the noodles, and it'll coat them all real good. You get that nice flavor in each bite. And so whenever you add the salt to the water in the pasta, it infuses more salt, or it infuses salt into the pasta so that it's less flat and it doesn't take away from the salt that is in the ingredients for the whatever you're putting on the pasta. Okay. That's mixed around pretty good. And this one I can imagine would be very good for taking to go to lunch, packing it up for lunch. And it's also quick enough that you can throw together that evening for dinner. And here we have our kale pesto pasta.
Southeast Asia is a tropical, cultural, and historical melting pot that has something to offer to every traveler. One gem in particular is the inviting Indonesian island of Bali. Let's meet with Taj Paglip on today's episode of Reflections of Hope as we uncover the beauty of Bali, inside and out.
Southeast Asia is my favorite travel destination on Earth. And one of my favorite places here in Southeast Asia is an intriguing Indonesian island, potent with personality and deep in character, rich in history and vibrant in culture, a place where every sense is stimulated and the mind expands with beautiful lessons for life. Come and explore with me the beauty of Bali inside and out.
This is an amazing entrance right here. Check it out.
Adventurers, explorers, photographers and surfers, divers, hikers, bikers and backpackers, families, honeymooners and solo travelers, Bali has something for everyone. The climate is warm and humid year-round, endless summers with average highs in the 80s. It seems like Bali has it all. Pristine beaches, lush landscapes, steaming jungles, cascading waterfalls, abundant fields, towering volcanoes, singing streams, stunning cliffs, powerful waves, delicious food, captivating artwork, rich cultural festivities, intriguing religious ceremonies, and that unmistakable laid-back way of life, and some of the best diving in the world. The breathtaking Island of Beauty is a dreamy destination. Due to the small and congested roads, the best way to get around this island is by motorbike. This is how the locals do it. The benefit of the bike is that you can get around traffic much more quickly and efficiently. But the drawback is that you're now exposed to all the nasty elements of the outside. Not only the dust and the dirt, but also the vehicle exhaust, pollution, stinky sewers, and other foul scents you can imagine. Though Bali is pristine, tragically, it's also polluted with plastics. But one thing I notice about my time spent here in Bali is that despite the stinky scents of everyday life, the smell of the atmosphere is mostly sweet and fragrant. And this is true everywhere you go. Bali is an aromatic oasis where the nose is not neglected and breathing is a blessing. But what is the source of the sweet aromatherapy in the atmosphere? It actually comes straight from the heart of the Balinese people who are so devoted in their daily offerings. Every day, usually in the mornings and evenings, cultural and religious offerings are placed at the entrances of every home and every business and pretty much everywhere you go. These fragrant offerings consist of rice, flowers, fruits, spices, and burning incense placed in a tiny hand-woven basket made from leaves. These offerings can be spotted in every crack and corner of this island. As the incense rises, so does my gratitude for the sweet scents of life. Every day, the fragrance of Bali is always sweet and pleasant. The aroma of the atmosphere in Bali reminds me of the realities of life living in this broken world. Not everything in life is foul, and not everything in life is fragrant. Life is usually made up of a mixture of both. Fragrant experiences of joy and laughter, but also the foul experiences of sadness and sorrow. The pleasant aroma of love and truth, but also the nauseating odor of injustice and selfishness. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. You cannot escape the various scents of your surroundings. Both the sweet and the sour smells of life affects everyone who breathes in its atmosphere. Such is the case with the highs and lows of life and death, the valleys and the mountaintops of tragedy and triumph, the light and the darkness of failure and success. Life is made up of both, the tasty aroma of delicious food, but also the foul smells of rubbish and waste. Now, there are two ways we can respond to this reality of life. We can either complain about the stench, or we can appreciate the sweet. We can gripe about our problems, or we can count our blessings with gratitude. If it wasn't for the presence of the stench, many would not fully appreciate the fragrance of the sweet. It's going through the hard times that makes us more appreciative of the easy times. And so, let us learn from the unpleasantries of life. We cannot ignore the reality that many times life stinks. And although most of the time we can't change our stinky circumstances, there is something we can do to make it better. Just like the people of Bali, we can light up the incense of prayer. Prayer that rises to the heavens. Now, prayer may not remove the stench or change the circumstance, but rather it gives us the ability to see it and smell it differently. Prayer helps us overcome stinking thinking. And it gives us a positive perception to every foul and fragrant experience of life, both the smelly and the sweet. But besides the incense of prayer, just like the Balinese, every day we can present a sweet-smelling life offering of love, humility, and gratitude. For when we learn to live in love, give in humility, and be grateful in simplicity, our lives become a sweet fragrance in a foul world of pain and sorrow. We can be the answer to our own prayer. Our positive perception to all the various sense of life can permeate the atmosphere and inspire those around us. This is the experience I've had with the beautiful people of this place. The Balinese are some of the friendliest and sweetest people on earth. Their daily offerings are a reflection of the sweetness of their love. Their history, culture, art, and influence are things to appreciate and celebrate. Their smiles and their kindness are things to emulate. So come if you can, but always remember to love where you are. Open your mind and your heart to those around you, both strangers and friends. Listen in order to learn, and do so with empathy and non-judgmental ears. And let everything you do be done with love. For this is the sweet fragrance of Bali. It is the sweet smell of love. Today, may your life be the offering, and may love be the fragrance that makes the offering known, felt, and even smelt wherever you go.
If you're enjoying today's program, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us. When we return, Pastor Mark Finley will share today's devotional thought. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this bright Friday morning. It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
We've been studying the book of Proverbs together. Proverbs is an amazing book of practical wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 17, the scripture says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." What is a friend? A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. That's according to Walter Winchell. Somebody else said a friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you just as the way you are. Another person said growing apart doesn't change the fact that for a long time we grew side by side. Our roots will always be tangled. I'm glad for that, according to Ali Kondi. You see, lots of people, according to Oprah Winfrey, want to ride with you in the limo. But what you want is someone who'll take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. What is a friendship? What is the term friendship mean? Who is a true friend? In a biblical sense, friendship is this deep personal relationship where you feel comfortable to share your joys, your sorrows, your strong points, and your weak points with the one that knows all about you, but yet loves you still. The deepest relationship of friendship that we can possibly have is our relationship with Jesus. Throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about being friends with God. And the deeper our relationship is with Christ, the closer we feel to Him, the more we feel accepted, the more we can accept others. The more we feel forgiven, the more we can forgive others. The more we feel that Christ is our friend, the more we can reach out our hand in friendship. In John, the 15th chapter, the Bible talks about this concept of being friends with Christ. It's an amazing thing when you actually think about it, that Jesus, the one who existed from eternity, tabernacled in human flesh, the one that was one with the Father, and at whose very name angels winged their way to worlds afar, the one at whose name angels obeyed, this Christ, the creator of the universe, the one that spoke and worlds came into existence, the one that spoke and earth was carpeted with living green, the one who spoke and sea and land and life appeared, the one that created Adam out of the dust of the earth. This Jesus wants to be your friend. I mean, it's an incredibly sublime thought. We read about it in John chapter 15, starting with verse 10. Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. No longer," now don't miss this, this is significant, "no longer will I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Jesus says, if I have loved you, love one another. And Jesus says, I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. You're not a speck of cosmic dust in the universe. You're not a grand zero. You're not like some soda can that has been run over by a truck and kicked to the side of the road and little or no worth. You're not some pebble on the seashore. Jesus says, I created you and I fashioned you. And I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be not simply a servant of mine, but I want you to be my friend. And when I understand that Christ invites me into an intimate, personal, loving relationship with him, when I understand that Jesus wants me to be his friend, it lifts my spirit, it encourages my heart, and it enables me to reach out in loving kindness and compassion and develop meaningful relationships with others. You know, I love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." The words of that song were written by Joseph M. Scriven. The story behind the song is quite remarkable. He was in his early 20s and he was engaged to be married. About a week or two before his wedding, by now, of course, the invitations had gone out. The pastor had secured the church facilities. They had planned the reception. But Joseph M. Scriven's fiancée went swimming, and unfortunately, she drowned. It was a devastating experience to him. He left England and came to Canada. And there in Canada was so discouraged. He went out living in the forest, chopping wood, living in a little home not on the edge of the forest. He'd often chop wood for elderly ladies. He said he'd never marry again. By the time he was in his 30s, he now found another woman that he loved deeply. They were engaged to be married, but unfortunately, she developed a tragic lung disease and died a few months before the wedding. Joseph M. Scriven was so incredibly discouraged that he wondered if he could go on with life. Tears rolled down his face, and he got a telegram in those days from England saying that his mother was dying. He didn't have enough money to go back to the funeral of his mom or to even see her before she died. And he decided that what he would do would write a poem. So he sat down one day and he began to write, and these words came to his mind. "What a friend we have in Jesus," written to his mother. "Mother, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him, to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations, Mother? Are there troubles anywhere? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Joseph M. Scriven, in the trauma of his life, in the sorrow of his life, in the heartache of his life, in the disappointment of his life, when he was walking through those valleys, saw Jesus as his best friend. You may feel that you have very few friends, but Jesus reaches out to you today. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. And the closer you draw to Jesus as you seek him in prayer, as you open his word and let him speak to you, the closer you draw to Jesus, the more your heart will be filled with His love to develop friends with other people. The more you trust Jesus, the more you can trust others in that friendship. Will you today enter into that precious relationship with Jesus that is the basis of all friendships? Will you reach out to Him today? He's reaching out to you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup. We look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday morning. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be with us to share a devotional thought. We're going to have special music from Jamie George, violin maestro. Not only that, but we're also making some Alfredo sauce with Gia and her team. So if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. We are sure that our free Bible studies will be such a spiritual blessing to you as they have been to so many others. So, of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's Bible promise says, "But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." That's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And what an amazing promise. Jesus was wounded and took on our punishment and pain so that we could be saved. So let's not take it for granted, friends, but rather embrace His great love for us. Well, we've come to the end of a week, and we're looking forward to being able to receive God's blessings. We encourage you to take these beautiful reminders of God's love with you into your weekend. We encourage you to resolve to surrender everything to Him. He will truly never, never leave you nor forsake you. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have shown us today how great is your love towards us. We pray, Lord, that we would embrace it, that we would be mindful of it throughout the day. Cause us not to forget the beautiful promises and the wonderful blessings that you poured into our life this morning with our program. May you keep us, Lord, close to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.